Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, John. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine.
You know what? Because I just realized I haven't had my mic hooked up for like the last 4 or 5 shows. I had no idea.
Oh, that's weird.
I know. How are you tonight? Good?
Good. Very good.
Good. Well, we have a great show tonight. We've got 2 fantastic guests. We've got Charlie Souza, a phenomenal musician who has... I can't even tell you, a wonderful, wonderful background in his career. Must be the stories he can tell, I can't even imagine. And we also have the wonderful actress Lydia Cornell. She was on Too Close for Comfort and like 50 million other shows that we probably didn't even realize it was her, because I only remember from Too Close for Comfort, and I loved her on the show, but I can't wait to talk to her, too. So, on the phone, Mr. Charlie Souza. How are you, sir? Welcome to Applause Radio Show. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, JoJo. It's an honor to be here.
It's funny to hear other people I don't know call me JoJo. Well, thank you so much, Charlie. You really have an amazing, amazing career. My God, I was reading up on you. I couldn't believe all the bands you've played with, and your life has just been amazing. I'm sure you probably don't feel that way, but I mean, at moments you do, but you know.
Well, you know, I did write a book called Live Your Dream, and I'm still living it, believe it or not.
Yeah, I want to get to the book, actually. So you're a Florida guy, born and raised, right? And you're still there, I believe, right?
Well, I spent 28 years out in L.A., and I spent some time in New York with Dino and the boys.
Mm-hmm. And so how did you wind up in Chicago, where everything kind of started for you? I mean, you really got started in Florida. Everything kind of blew up in Chicago, no? Or
well, yeah, we had a good manager, and Margie Sexton booked the tropics all over the, you know, the Southeast.
Right,
and,
right.
And she put us in on the contest up in Chicago, and we actually won first place, Battle of the Bands, International Battle of the Bands, they called
cool.
it. I think we got a contract from Columbia Records, and we went from there. You know, we had a few records out, and the Tropics were a big band. So that's how I ran into Tom Petty, because he used to come and watch the Tropics play.
Wow. Isn't that funny? Isn't that
funny?
Yeah.
He was just a kid from Gainesville, and you know, we were a couple of years older. So when it came time for him to look for a bass player when he was in L.A., he called me to fill in on bass with Mudcrutch.
Now,
so,
did you I know you play several instruments. Is bass your favorite out of all of them, or...?
Yeah, it's my favorite instrument. I like the bottom end.
Okay, I love bass and drums. I'm really partial to them. I love them myself.
Yeah.
Now, you are self-taught pretty much, and you play by ear, yeah?
Well, actually, you know, my mother was a piano player.
Ah, there we go.
So she taught us some piano and then gave us some piano lessons, and my sister played the violin, and I played the clarinet, and I switched that, you know, woodwinds instrument, eventually started playing alto saxophone. And
oh, wow.
I ended up playing sax on the Heartbreakers' first album.
Wow. Wow. Are you credited for Don't Do Me Like That?
On the Mud Crutch version, yeah.
Right, so you guys originally started as Mud Crutch when you were playing with Tom Petty, and then they became the Heartbreakers, right?
After I left, they became the Heartbreakers.
And let me ask you, so I got to ask you about Tom Petty. I know he was a major Elvis fan. His beginning early music, was it a little Elvis sounding or no?
Well, it was a little bit country since he was from Gainesville.
Right.
The first record he sent me was kind of country, And then he evolved into country rock, and we all know what happened after that, don't we?
I was actually surprised out of all the Elvis songs that he would redo Wooden Heart. I thought he would pick something else, but I guess that one had most meaning to him. Now, in regard to you, you played with Vanilla Fudge. We've actually had Vanilla Fudge. Who we have on, John? Pete? Was it Pete Bremme?
I believe Pete, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pete Bremme plays with, I actually toured with the Cactus Band. And that was actually the band after Vanilla Fudge, Cactus. And, Carmine and Timmy, they went to play with Jeff Beck. And so I jumped in on bass, and we toured around the Northeast. The Vanilla Fudge guy is Bill Piscali. Now he came in and played with Dino and Gene with the New Rascals, and so that's probably where you got the Vanilla Fudge part at. But I toured with Cactus, and that was kind of cool. Right about the time that I went up to New York with Greg Allman. I mean, there's a lot of names I could drop, but
I know. I saw, but Greg Allman was kind of like your big break, right? I mean, he kind of was like the person that was trying to give you a big break, and
there was a seamstress, a guy that made clothes for a lot of stars, like he made clothes for Jimi Hendrix, and he made clothes for Greg Allman. His name was Michael Braun.
And
Michael kind of liked the group that I was playing with at the time called Bacchus, and he and Greg jumped in Greg's limo and came over to watch Bacchus play, and this was shortly after Barry Oakley had died, and so Greg handed me a golden Allman Brothers mushroom pendant. And asked me to play in the band, and I went up to Macon with him, and then the next day we caught a plane up to New York, and listening to his laid back overdubs on his album.
Yeah.
And of course things were going pretty slow there, so I hitched a ride over to the Long Island and jumped in the Cactus Band because they were touring and playing already.
Cool.
So. From there, I came back home, and then all of a sudden Tom Petty calls me a couple of years later. That's when I moved to L.A.
Right. Now, you started at the age of 4 playing music, or did just music was instilled in you at 4?
Well, I heard music playing in my mother's womb when she was playing piano, so yeah.
Right.
When I was born, I don't remember anything before I was 4 years old, but I do remember my mama playing the piano.
Right. Now you were a surfer guy, kind of, or no, or just into surfer music?
Well, that's kind of what the tropics were.
Right. That's why I asked. Yeah.
Yeah, we played at a place called the Surfers Club in Madeira Beach. In the 60s, and that was where it all started.
Right.
A lot of local bands played there. Speaking of local bands, can I mention, I'm on a book tour currently.
Yes, I want to get to the book. I want to talk about music.
Oh, okay.
we're definitely going to get to the book. I'm fascinated by everybody, all your name dropping that you could do. So I'm going to do it. Tell me, what was it like to meet Jim Morrison? I mean, how was he at that point when you met him? Was he wasted time, or was it early time? What was it?
Well, it was, you know, he was going to junior college in St. Pete, so he was kind of short and sweet, and he moved on. I mean, I just kind of ran into him a couple of times. That's about it.
And he was always a weird character, though, before that, you know, anything took off, from what I heard.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He was like gone like a flash.
Mm.
And some other you should mention his name. He's in the book I just wrote. It's called Tampa Bay Music Roots.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I've put together a pictorial history book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm just, like I told a friend of mine, I'm just a grain of sand on the beach here in the Tampa Bay area.
Mm.
There's so many talented artists and players and writers from this area that I'm totally humbled after putting together this Tampa Bay Music Roots history book.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And now I wanted to ask you about, I forgot. Give me a minute. So I know you like the surfer stuff. You guys are playing the surf stuff. But who was really, like, your main influence at that time?
Well, dare I say the Beatles.
Yeah.
We did take after Paul Revere and the Raiders and, Hermits and all of the English influence. But the Beatles just kind of swept us away.
Yeah, you had that explosion at the.
I mean, we were into James Brown too.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So,
what I love about that time, and you know, like growing up, '60s, '70s, '80s, not so much the '80s, but you know, you had Top 40, and the radio stations played everything, so you really got a taste of everything. It wasn't just I'm going to listen to this station, and that's the only type of music I'm going to listen to. You know, like. The radio stations played every variety of music. So I think that's why people our age, we love so much different types of music because
well,
of that factor,
that's why, yeah.
You know? So, all right. So now you got this book. Tell us about the book. It's called, what is it? Don't tell me. Live your dream. Wait.
Oh yeah. That book is a rock and roll autobiography. Talking about, you know, my life and times from the time I was a kid till the time that I was touring with Dino Danelli, the Rascals.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I went through lots of changes and had some rough times in the early days. And But I'm telling a lot of rock and roll stories in the book. And
right.
as a matter of fact, Tom Petty endorsed my book. And he actually edited the Mud Crutch chapter for me. So it was a lot of fun putting that together. But believe me, there's another whole book to come, another bunches of chapters that have happened since I published that Live Your Dream book.
Right. And what's the book tour you're doing now? What book is that for?
That's for the Tampa Bay Music Roots.
Okay. And that's, you said, a pictorial?
Yeah. It's on, you know, Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com. You can pre-order it right now just by going to one of those websites, Tampa Bay Music Roots. Like I said, it's got everybody in it. I mean, did you know that the Rolling Stones wrote the lick to Satisfaction in Clearwater, Florida?
No kidding.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff that went on here.
Were you hanging out with them when they came up with it? Or, I mean, No.
It's just the history of this area, you know.
Mm.
So there's, Stephen Stills went to Plant High School in Tampa, you know.
Wow.
It's just amazing that.
So much talent came out of Florida.
That I'm telling you. Yeah.
So now,
you know, there's some talent in New Jersey, JoJo.
Yeah, there is.
You know, I did get a chance to tour about 5 years with Dean Cornish of the Rascals, and
right.
he lived in New Jersey there for a long time.
Yep.
And of course, that's where Dino Danelli, the drummer, is from.
Right, right. Dino's niece worked at my physical therapy place. So.
Wow.
So I do know him, but I don't know him personally, but I do know him. So,
well,
but
there's your 6 degrees of separation
exactly,
right there.
Exactly. Don't worry. We're going to get him on. Don't worry. I promise. So now, out of all the things, I mean, you played with all these bands. Like, I know you've done your own projects. Are you still working on anything now? Are you releasing any more CDs? I know you probably write. Once you're a writer and a musician, you don't stop. So.
Oh, that's true. I've got a project going on my original music, but stemming from when Tom Petty left the earth and started and joined the band in the sky, I started a band called The Broken Hearts.
Oh, nice.
With a couple of friends of mine from the Bay Area. And the Broken Hearts are playing all the Petty music, and they're playing around town a lot. And
yeah, it's a great name.
Yeah, so... Yeah. And I literally have a broken heart. No,
I'm serious. Right.
If you know somebody, I mean, I worked with Tom very briefly, but it was long enough to, you know, when you play musical notes with someone, it kind of locks into your soul.
Of course.
So, I mean, that just means a lot that, you know, we're carrying on his music. Along with, you know, 900 other Petty tribute bands, but
exactly now in that band, Broken Heart, how many are from Mudcrutch? Just yourself or others?
Yeah, just me. I worked with Mudcrutch, and then I lent my credentials to the Broken Hearts, and all the fellas appreciated it. And there's a lot of good work to get when you're a tribute band.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I've had a different tribute band, a tribute to the Police and Sting, I started about 5 years ago, and they're playing out at the Live Aid tribute concert in Colorado this August. So
they're doing another Live Aid. I didn't know that.
They're doing a Relive Live Aid tribute concert to Live Aid.
Oh, I gotcha. Cool.
So they've got all the bands that played at Live Aid. They have all tribute bands playing at Live Aid.
Why Colorado?
Well, that's where it's where the festival is taking place.
Yeah, I know, but why there? That's so weird. That's like, you know, it's like, I don't know. I would think it'd be more of like the city, New York, or I don't know, California, somewhere, you know.
Well,
I mean, Colorado is another big name state, but, you know, musically, I don't know. That's just me.
Well, yeah, that's where the venue is, and the cover rock promoters are doing a concert at the amphitheater in Dillon, Colorado. So, I mean, we'll take the gig.
Hey, why not? Why not?
Yeah.
I got to ask you, if you weren't a musician, what would you have done with yourself? Or you have no idea because it's been in your blood since you were in the womb, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. There's nothing else that I would have done with the exception of, heck, I don't know. I mean, I just relied on music so much. And, you know, my instruments, I started on guitar and then I moved to bass because the Tropics needed a bass player.
Right.
And so I didn't know anything else.
Mm.
I didn't know that. Is there anything else?
Well, unfortunately, to pay the bills, yeah, there's got to be for some people.
After I moved to L.A., I mean, it kicked in. You know, reality kicked in. I was playing with this band and that band, and I had a record deal on Fantasy Records.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, waited for the album to come out. It never did, so... I used to go to the Starwood and watch all the stars play, you know, and but I needed a day gig. So actually I learned how to be a salesman on the telephone.
Mm.
And I got a really good gig in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a day gig. And in the 90s, I was making incredible money. So I could afford to go play some gigs that didn't pay that much because it was cool. I had a day gig.
Right, right, right. Well, you definitely have had some, oh, my God, I mean, stories you could tell. You could write books till you die. I mean, I'm not rushing you or anything, but let's get going on those books.
Oh, I promise I'll get back with the pen and pencil, but I'm using the computer these days.
Yeah, yeah. So everybody could get their a copy of
Live Your Dream,
and the other one, I forgot that one.
Tampa Bay Music Roots.
Tampa Bay. Are they both together? They could be purchased, or
well, sure. They're both on Amazon, and you know, what's that other bookstore? Barnes and Noble.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
So now your book tour. What's that consist of? Are you traveling to the book tour? Sorry, are you going to bookstores or?
I've got a couple of things booked with the Barnes and Noble in the area.
Right.
And then, my wife told me not to laugh so much. it's ongoing. It's ongoing. The book is going to be released on March the 2nd.
Cool.
So there'll be a lot of places I'll be going at that point.
Wow. And how about folks who want to just read up on you and everything? Where can they or contact you? Where can they get in touch with you?
Oh, I have a website. It's called CharlieSouza.com.
Cool. And and we're available for weddings and bar mitzvahs. I know.
Yeah.
I'm always kidding.
No, but, that's okay.
But that's fantastic. I wish you with the book for sure, and I wish I got to get myself a copy. I definitely have to get my hands on the copy of Live Your Dream, that's for sure. And the pictorial.
Oh, cool.
Whose pictures are in the pictorial, basically?
Oh, you name it. You know, like I said, Jim Morrison, Stephen Stills, Ray Charles, the Rolling Stones. I mean, you could go on and on. And there are also, what's more so, is all of the local bands that made this area great.
Oh, that's nice.
That you may not recognize their name, but that's who made the Tampa Bay Music Roots grow. All of the current bands that are playing now, and all those bands that played all the way back into 1914, they had a song called, you know, Way Down on Tampa Bay. So it's hard to cover the whole thing in just a couple of minutes of talking about it.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. Is your St. Petersburg song still popular down there?
I think they're playing it at the Rays game every now and then. I heard people tell me that it was on the intercom there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but, you know, it's mentioned in the history book.
And, very nice. Well, oh, my God, Charlie, I could go on for hours just asking you questions about all the people you've worked with and everything. Did you do Woodstock by any chance? Did you go at all?
No, I wasn't at Woodstock, but I did go to the Atlanta Pop Festival and played on the free stage there.
Cool. How about Monterey? Did you go there?
No, I wasn't in California yet. Didn't get out there till 75.
Right. I mean, it's just an amazing time for music. Oh, my God. I'm so jealous when I talk to people on the show. I wish you
could. Well, you know why? We both have that that upbringing of real music. It'll always be in our soul. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Charlie, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it so much. John, did you have anything for Charlie before we say goodbye?
Yeah, Charlie, what do you think of the new so-called music that's coming out today? How do you feel about that?
It's hard to say. I mean, a lot of the new music I'm not that attracted to, but there's still some great music going on. So, it's all production and it's quite nice. I really like it and I appreciate it. And so you can't say anything bad about music.
Right. Yeah, I guess so. I'll end on that note on the new music.
Okay.
On that comment.
Do,
I'll
do
end
you,
on
Charlie?
That comment.
Charlie, do you think it's too overprocessed now?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we all like to play live and without recordings going on with us. So you've got a good point there, John. The electronic music, they call that tracks. They don't call it songwriting.
Right.
So,
I mean, honestly, there's nothing like the feel of being in a studio and playing with real musicians. I mean, it makes it even more powerful and meaningful when you do
it, especially as
a singer and a player. I mean, you just feel it more instead of just say, oh, let me sit down and record this on a track so some asshole can sing to it, you know, with the auto tune, you know what I mean? So,
right. Well, yeah. And, you know, I'm not going to put anything down, but I know what you're saying, JoJo. We like to rock.
Yeah, rock and roll, baby. Rock and roll. You got that. Ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Souza from, I'm not even going to say what band. You pick the band he's been in. His new book out called Live Your Dream and, oh, God, if I can't, Tampa what? Tampa Bay Music Roots. And check him out. Coming out March 2nd.
Yeah.
March 2nd. He's doing a Barnes & Noble book tour down in Florida. Check him out. We have a lot of listeners down in Florida. Make sure you go and see him. And you always go to his website, charliesouza.com, barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com. Right, John?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, sir. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. And if you want to come back and talk about anything else, please you reach out.
Okay, Joanne. I really appreciate you asking me.
Good luck, and we wish you all the best. And thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank,
thank
you.
Thank you, Charlie.
Right, take care. Have a good night, hon. Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
You.
Bye. Oh, nice guy, huh?
You're very nice. We got our second guest on the line. We got Lydia.
Hi, JoJo. Hi, I'm excited to be on your show.
Yeah, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Lydia Cornell, from her most famous role, Too Close for Comfort, a show I really enjoyed. It was a lot
of
fun. I can't imagine what it was like to work with Ted Knight. I mean, he must have been amazing.
I love him. Yeah, I miss him.
How old were you when you did the show?
I was only 12, and I looked a lot older.
You did. That's why I just said, "Wow, you look more like 17." But yeah, I can't believe it. You look
absolutely
beautiful.
Yeah, I played 18,
now.
But I was 20. I was 25, and I played an 18-year-old. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
you
that was the
80s. You're even more beautiful now. My goodness.
Oh,
well,
you are
I just
so
wanted,
sweet.
Oh, please. I don't know if people know that you are the great granddaughter of Harriet Beecher Stowe.
Yeah, Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's fabulous. I can't believe that. And now
my grandfather was Henry Ward Beecher Stowe. So
and she lost
the Civil War.
Wow. And your family has a big music background. Are you do you play anything? I know you have a music background as well, but do you actually play any instruments?
I play piano a little bit, but I am the only one that didn't inherit the eternal gene of music, although I love music. I love all music.
Right.
But
right,
I played violin
right.
as a child, violin, and I used to kick my teacher in the shins because he used to pinch my cheeks. I was 6 years old with a baby violin, and it was the hardest instrument in the world to use.
Oh, God.
But I wish I could play
eight.
Guitar. I wish, yeah.
Well, there's never, it's not, never too late. It's never too
no.
late. You know? So, but now
exactly.
You, when I read up about you, you lived in Texas and moved to Scarsdale, New York. What kind of a change in life
okay.
was that?
I grew up in El Paso, Texas, and I spoke Spanish fluently, which I love.
Wow.
And I ate enchiladas and tacos. I mean, I loved Mexican food. I spoke Spanish. I knew only desert cactus. I never saw a tree except in Ruidoso or Cloudcroft. We went to vacation in Mexico. And then the culture shock of moving to New York, we moved to Scarsdale, and it was all trees and forest, and I curtsied and said, yes, ma'am, to everybody in the hallway in junior high. It was so embarrassing. People went,
and they thought
what
you
is
were
wrong
weird.
With you?
Right, right. And then it was cold.
And, yeah. But I wanted to be a Jewish male comic in the worst way. My parents weren't supportive.
Oh, God, is that so funny. Now, you worked a lot behind the scenes in the music industry. I mean, you worked, you did work for Carole King, Billy Joel, the Beach Boys, America, Chicago, David Cassidy.
I was obsessed with the music industry, and I used to read this book. I read Clive Davis's book called The Business of Music.
I was obsessed with Clive Davis, right? Me too.
So I thought, I'm going to break in the music industry. And in college, I hosted a seminar in the business school. I was a business major, which was stupid because I wanted to be an actress my whole life, but it was a sideways way in. And I hosted a business seminar for Barry Fay, the big promoter in Denver, and Chuck Morris, who owned Tulagi's on the Hill in Boulder. I went to college in Boulder. And all I wanted to do was get into Caribou Ranch, the recording studio up in the mountains above Boulder, because I heard it was where all the stars recorded, like the Beach Boys, Elton John, America, Joni Mitchell. So I got a job there. That day when I hosted this conference, the owner of Caribou Ranch took us to dinner at the Red Lion Inn, and he looked me right in the eye and he said, "Have you ever been up to the ranch?" And I went, "No, I'd love to work there." And he goes, "Come on up." And it's harder to get into than the White House. It's got armed guards. And I got a job there as a kitchen girl and the ranch photographer. I pretended I could take pictures with a Nikon, and I took blurry pictures of Joni Mitchell.
Fake it till you make it, baby. You know, you fake it till you make it, right?
Yeah, and then I crashed Billy Joel into a snowbank, picking him up at the airport because I never drove a four-wheel drive.
Oh, my God.
He saved my job. He saved me from being fired.
Really?
And and so we were friends way before.
Are you
before
still friends
to
this now? Are you still friends now?
Yeah, I ran into him years later with John Lovitz and the Saturday Night Live people in the whole gang
in
New York. And Billy said, "I knew Lydia before when she was the shiksa, the shiksa I liked before I got married to Christy Brinkley."
Yeah, Lydia almost killed me. I know her. Well, I have to ask you, you were a beautiful girl. You were around all these musicians. Did you have a little fling with any of them? If you don't want to say, you don't have to.
I did go out with Dennis Wilson of the Beach Boys.
Oh,
we had a few dates.
You picked the best looking one.
And I had a crush on Jerry Beckley of America. He was so cute. They recorded I think Horse with No Name. They might have been recording one of those albums up there. I don't know. And I was very careful because I wanted to be taken seriously as a music business manager.
Right. Yeah.
And it was really hard. So I dyed my hair dark, brown, and I became the road manager of the Michael Murphy Band the summer before graduating college.
Oh, wow.
He wrote a song called Wildfire, beautiful song.
Yep. And it went cold to wildfire.
Beautiful. You have a good voice.
Yep. Oh, thank you. I used to. But anyway,
you live in New Jersey, right? I love New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. Well, be here a while. I'm only kidding. I'm a born
and
bred
Jersey
girl. I'm in Clifton, actually, and John is in Pennsylvania.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so
when did you
close
this
five.
Is a cool show. I'm really happy to be on your show. Applause.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. We have some great guests, and we love that you're on. Thank you so much.
I can't
thank you enough for being with us because I'm intrigued with you definitely. So
now you had
a lot of roles before Too Close for Comfort, but would you consider that your major role? Your first major role?
Yes, because I walked into town off the turnip truck. They thought I was so naive on my first audition.
Mm.
It was the third audition I ever did, and I walk right into this big room with all these men, who are all very well respected men. One created Get Smart with Mel Brooks, main producer Arnie Sultan, and then there was Tom Werner in the room, I think he owns the Boston Red Sox now, but he was Marcy Carsey's partner, and they had a show called. Yeah, they were creating different shows.
Warner,
they had Third Rock on.
Warner Carsey, right?
Yeah. So all I remember was they said, there's a line in the script that says, "Sarah gives Dad a raspberry." And I reached into imaginary purse and I pulled out a thing. I thought it was a raspberry and I hand it to the producer and he goes, "You don't know what a raspberry is?" And they all laughed so hard they almost fell off their chairs, and they all did a Bronx cheer in front of me, like, this is a raspberry, like that. And I was so naive. They go, you're perfect for the part. Can you meet us at the network tomorrow for the callbacks?
Oh, God.
And
that's
the irony
so funny.
Is the next day I went in for the callbacks, and they had 400 girls they'd been seeing, and they only picked 5 of us for the finals. And
wow.
We had to meet Ted Knight and read with him in front of the network president.
Now, you had known of Ted Knight. You had known of Ted Knight prior,
oh, yeah.
Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, from the Mary Childs Moore Show. I was so nervous.
I was going to say,
and
you
I was wearing.
Nervous.
Yeah, I was wearing like a virginal white flowered dress, and all the other girls were wearing skin tight, you know, with their nipples hanging out, everything showing,
yeah, right,
and I'm like
right,
a virgin.
Right.
And
right.
We read together, and they were laughing so hard. It just went really well. And then at the end of the reading, they said to me, we never do this normally. We usually call your agent. We're going to tell you right now, you have the part.
Oh, wow.
And it was so exciting, and I didn't know what it meant. You signed 7 years of your life away. But Deborah
right.
Von Valkenburg was there. I read with her, too, and she already
yeah.
was cast as Jackie.
Right.
And I don't know if you ever heard this story. I've told it a couple of times. She
no,
says
us.
To me, she said to me, what's your name? I said, well, it's Lydia Kornilov. It's a really weird Russian name. I've got to shorten it somehow. And she said, Kornilov? She says, I work for a Gregory Kornilov in New York City, but he's in Holland in the shipping industry. We had moved to Holland after I went to college.
Mm.
And it turns out she worked for my father all those years. She worked in New York City. Out of 9 million people, my sister, TV sister, worked for my dad.
Isn't
in
that
life.
Funny?
Isn't
wow.
It's coinciding.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
I call
nice.
It a God's
thought. Yeah, definitely.
Hey, Joanne, we have a caller on the line for us. We have a caller with a question. Hold on, we're getting through here. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Lydia.
Hi, Lydia. It's Phil Isaacson. How are you?
Hi, Phil. How are you? Phil's a radio host in Chicago, a music station.
Oh. Hey, Phil.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here, but I'm just so glad to always talk to Lydia, whether it's privately or on the radio.
Thank you. I had no idea. That's really sweet.
Yeah.
She's a treat.
I mean,
she's a treat.
We've been friends at least 10 years now, maybe.
Yeah,
so.
From the Kelsey Grammer, Bill Zucker show.
Yeah, back in the day, yeah. And I loved when Lydia used to do a video show for all her friends on Wednesday nights for, about 2 or 3 years, right?
Yeah.
Back in, early 2010s or something like that.
What was that?
My Wednesday night. I made sure that I was always around.
Thank
and,
you.
And she was so entertaining. It was wonderful. And not
I was
only
going through
that,
a divorce and I was crying on the air. It was really fun.
Yeah, but you had to have a sympathetic audience for you there. You know?
It was such a blast. Thank you. I should start that again.
What did that
and not only
of?
That,
what
Lydia,
that?
You have introduced me to two amazing people and connections, and specifically your TV mom, Nancy. You know,
I just talked
and,
to you today.
And also to Vicki Abelson. And they are both wonderful people.
And Jojo, what did you just say? You interrupt. You said something.
I asked what the video show on the Friday nights was. What did that consist of? What
it was
show
Wednesday
was
night. It was like my stalker was – I accidentally moved my stalker into my house, and he was in the background, and I thought he was a war hero.
Wait. You
a long
moved
story.
A stalker into your house?
This is in the book that I'm writing. It's hilarious and it's scary, but – yeah, and and it was this interactive Ustream show I did for fans during my divorce, and it turned out to be one of the most healing, amazing shows. We had 16,000 viewers by the third week.
Oh, cool.
And it was really building, and I had a lot of friends on the chat room.
I know, I watched almost every week, Lydia. That's how we got to know each other most of the time.
Thank
besides
you.
Besides Facebook, other social media. And we really realized from that just the wonderful person you are, Lydia.
Oh,
and
I love you. Thank you, Phil.
Totally from the bottom of my heart, knowing you this long and everything like that. And you know that I feel that you're just so
I've
wonderful.
Got to meet you in person someday, though, because that's
I know.
I have some of my favorite people I've met on social media.
Last time I was out in California, but things didn't work out then. But I'm sure
sometime.
By hook or by crook, we will. So.
Thank you, Phil.
But you're not moving in.
I know I'm not.
He's got a family.
30 years would agree to that anyway. So.
No, I'm
only
kidding.
Phil.
I'm talking about our stalker. You're not moving in.
Thank you, Phil. I love you.
In the house and not sitting next to me. But I had a joke for Lydia. Lydia sent me some wonderful autographed photos a number of years ago and stuff. And my wife is very conservative, so when I saw the pictures, most of them, obviously, they were in not the least bit, you know, suggestive or anything like that. But one, I joked with my son, who was like about, I think, 15 at the time, and I said, I might as well give these pictures to you, because if your mother ever sees these, she's going to only make me get away anyway.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about being objectified as a sex symbol. That was
luckily,
the 80s.
It was not
leg warmers.
I mean, some of those pictures are absolutely wonderful. I have them even in the room I'm sitting in here right now and stuff.
Thank
and I
you.
Appreciate that so much, Lydia. You just went above and beyond and all the things like that. Because you know I never ask you for things other than the occasional, oh, can you do a station ID for me or something? But, you know.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Phil.
Nice.
I'll call you on your other show later. Is that tonight?
Well, the video show isn't until the end of February. But
oh, okay.
You certainly call
yeah.
me, like I said, if you were able to do certain things ahead, or we could at least talk about the things. But anyway, I don't want to take you away from other callers, but I'm going to listen in and make sure that we'll talk later tonight. But I'm so happy to always talk to you, and you know that.
Thank you, Phil. Blessing. God bless you.
Phil, thank you so much
Thanks,
for calling.
Phil.
We appreciate it.
For having me on
Shalom.
With Lydia, and it's just been a pleasure to talk to her anytime, and you have a wonderful guest there, and the rest of the people calling in are going to appreciate Lydia, hopefully as much as I do, if not more.
Are you my PR person?
Yeah.
I mean, like, this is, like, such a sweet call. Thank you.
You better hire him. You better hire him.
I'm going to hire you.
Oh, I said she already has me hired out for years, unofficially, of course, but, you know.
Oh, I never knew that. Okay.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay,
nice.
Lydia.
Awesome.
So I will
give my love to your wife.
Let you be shared with the rest of the, hopefully, millions upon millions of people tuning in right now.
Yes,
so.
Yes. They definitely are listening.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well,
very
Phil,
good.
Thank you,
thank
so
you
much.
Later, Lydia.
Mazel
tov.
Take care.
Thank you. And
okay.
Everybody else, enjoy
okay,
this
bye,
wonderful
honey.
That is on this show.
Thank you so much,
love
Phil.
You.
Take
thank
care.
You so much, Phil.
Bye.
I can't,
that was nice.
You
yeah,
have such
nice.
A nice deep voice, John.
Yeah,
John.
John yeah, John's got a deep.
Yeah.
He's got that deep. He's got that deep.
Yeah, everybody
throat.
Tells me they got the face for radio. They all
yeah.
tell me I have the face for radio.
So now, after Too Close for Comfort, you
mm-hmm.
you did a bunch of. I mean, my God, you were on Drew Carey, Quantum Leap. I mean, all popular, famous shows. Full House. Knight
yeah.
Rider, Dukes of Hazzard, T.J.
Hunter, A-Team, Knight Rider,
yes.
Full House, five
TJ
love boats, six love boats, two hotels,
really?
And a partridge
wow.
in a pear tree. I feel like I did every night. You know, I did all the action car chase shows with Stephen J. Cannell Productions. But
oh,
the funniest
yes,
one was
yes.
Hunter. They had a red Ferrari, and they had a stunt woman.
That was a great show.
Yeah, and I had to be his assassin. I was supposed to fall in love with him and kill him. And then...
Oh.
We filmed at Lake Malibu in a houseboat or at a boat, and I had to, like, the director said, why don't you do your own stunts? You can dive in the water. And I said, okay, just to be nice.
Yeah.
Like an idiot, I dive into this freezing cold, murky water, who knows what's
oh.
in it. And then I have to swim to get back on the boat, and
yeah.
apparently they forgot to put the stairs down for the boat. So I'm, like, on this platform, and the camera crew is on another boat, and they have a close-up on my butt. And I'm trying to, like, wrangle my thighs over. It must have been.
Oh, my God.
It was impossible to get out. I kept getting sucked under. And then I had to, like, get out and shiver, make out with Hunter, all this stuff while you're freezing to death, you know?
How many takes?
Probably 10 or 12.
Oh, and you did it yourself 10 or 12 times?
No, luckily I only went into the water once. Later they apologized. They said, by law, you're not allowed to have an act. You shouldn't have an actor do their own stunts because
oh,
you
wow.
never know what can
yeah.
happen.
Exactly.
And David
yeah.
Hemmings directed me in A-Team, and the same thing. He said, do you mind sitting in the convertible while the helicopter goes like 3 inches above your head? And they have to have a stunt woman do that. And I said, no, I'll do it. And my hair got almost sucked up into the helicopter.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, some crazy experiences, that's for sure.
But the stunt woman...
God.
Wrecked the red Ferrari when she was racing around the mountain looking like me. And I
yeah.
had to then, the car door wouldn't open, the red Ferrari. So I had to go running down a hill and jump into the car. And they didn't have time, they wouldn't get the car fixed. So they said, just jump over the seat. Like jump like a Starsky and
yeah.
Hutch move. They made
yeah,
me
yeah.
actually jump over the seat to get in the car.
Oh Oh, God.
It was crazy.
Oh, my God.
It's
now, you've written a couple of books, yes?
Yeah, but the scary thing is the big publishing that I'm waiting for, I put it off because I wrote a really funny version called Hiding My Brain in My Bra, and it's done as a series of crazy episodes in my life, starting with the divorce. Really funny. Forgiveness. It's kind of like spiritual growth. Falling up is more of the theme of it all. Because I had this amazing path of life where I began to turn everything into comedy. Every bad thing that ever happened to me became funny later after I got sober. And I'm sober 25 years in recovery, and it's been like a miracle happened 25 years ago. My first day walking in there, and I surrendered, and I've never had a craving since that day. A series of miracles happened. I call them God shots. It's not religious. It's just these amazing, the inner power we all have inside us if we surrender and stop worrying and stop living in fear and actually believe there's a power greater than ourselves. And it happened for me, and it's a miracle. I actually had these miracles. So I tried to write the book in such a funny way. They asked me to please write it in a linear way, and now I'm doing the linear memoir first, interweaving the funny stories.
Right.
And hopefully this will be a TV series. We're pitching it as a series. It's funny.
And this
funny.
Is based off of, this is based off of your stalker?
It's based on everything that happened in the past
in your life.
25 years. In the past.
Oh, okay.
From the beginning.
You definitely got to come back and tell us when it's coming out so we can let people know, because I got to get me a copy of that. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's funny. It's funny. Hilarious. It's about raising boys. I call them aliens. Living with teenagers.
God.
You know, teenagers are not nice people, but I think that's nature's way of making us not like them for a while so we don't miss them so much when they're gone. Because if they were so cute, if they were as cute as toddlers all the way through high school, we wouldn't want them to ever leave, and they would never grow up.
I say that's what kept my kids alive. They were cute. You know, that's the only reason I just, you know, didn't beat the crap out of them. They were cute kids.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So is it true that are you planning on doing a remake of Too Close for Comfort?
Yeah, but where'd you hear that? Did somebody say that?
Oh, little bird told me.
Really?
No, I just did my research. That's all.
Well, there's something wonderful that we're in talks. Let's put it that way. I'm not allowed to say much more than that right now.
Of course,
brand new.
Of course,
we're in talks. I created a treatment and I approached the producers about a year ago, and it seems to be. I'm not allowed to say anything now, apparently, but. But it's exciting, yeah. So we'll see.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah.
So now, Curb Your Enthusiasm, was that your last acting gig, or you're still acting?
I'm still acting. I create my own. I've always been a person who creates my own work. Like, I have my own. I've been a writer. I decided I wanted to be a writer and director more than anything. And actually, that came after being shoved out of the industry. Maybe it's all in my head, but there was a time period where they said women over 40 aren't allowed to work in the industry. And I was kind of having babies between my 30s and 40s, so I figured, time to really get serious about what you're really good at, and that's writing comedy and doing stand-up comedy and creating my own characters and shows. So I started producing and directing movies. I wrote my own film. Deborah starred in it with me, called Venus Conspiracy. You know, that's a larger feature film. It's about all human suffering is caused by Victoria's Secret. So it's a big comedy. Thank you for laughing.
That sounds good.
Yeah, so it's basically for women navigating life as a woman, trying to keep your clothes, you know, keep your clothes on and not worry about aging backwards.
Right.
Just being yourself, coming out of your. We've been in a prison most of our lives, a lot of us, especially as actresses. You know,
and you've received a lot of awards too along the way. I mean, you may not have been in a major role, but I mean, you've been receiving awards left and right for years.
Yeah, thank you. I got a Best Actress nomination. I did a lot of independent films that went to Sundance and Slam Dance and No Dance. I played a heroin addict. We went up to Sundance, and I did a lot of interviews up there for a film called Happy Holidays from the Joneses. It was a scary, dark film where I had just quit smoking, and they made me smoke 3 packs of cigarettes at the bar.
What? Oh,
yeah.
No.
But luckily, I surrendered that, too, and it was a spiritual thing. It was after my little brother died.
Sorry to hear that.
In a tragic, you know, in the first year I got sober, I found his body, and it was a tragic death. And he was a concert pianist. He was so beautiful, so fragile, and so kind of wounded. Mm. He wasn't able to fit in this world too well. Mm. And he started using drugs, and only three times he used drugs, and he was gone at the age of 38.
I'm sorry.
But this disease is real. I mean, it's...
Yeah, of course.
And then the girl, this is going to sound tragic. I don't know if I want to say it, but the woman that he'd been dating for 10 years, she was so devastated by his death. They had broken up, but she was a vice president, Neiman Marcus, at the time. She got in the car to drive to his funeral and was drinking and had a head-on collision and killed an entire family and herself in the car. And
it's like
this is a disease that you need to either, there's only one solution, you get sober or you...
die.
Yeah, there's three others.
Right.
Institutions, death, or prison.
Right.
So,
wow.
You know, it's worth it if you have that ailment of the disease to get sober and work on it.
Very happy for you that you turned things around because you've done some amazing things, thank God.
His death helped a lot of people. Yeah.
Really?
I spoke about him a lot, and a lot of people, it's really interesting. He's around me all the time. I have these wonderful experiences of him everywhere. And a lot of people came to his memorial service, and they swore they'd never drink again, and they never did. A young boy.
Was he younger than you?
Yeah, he was a lot younger. He was not a lot younger. He was 3 years younger, 4 years younger.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's horrible. Tragic.
But we all have tragedy in life, and we have to learn to forgive and navigate life and be resilient and realize that only the good remains, even in a divorce.
Right.
Only the good remains.
Right. You have to embrace it in some shape or form to move on, you know, and accept it and say, you know what, things will get better. It's going to be okay, you know.
Right.
And it does. It does eventually, you know. And everybody.
It always gets better when you focus on the gratitude.
Right, and everybody deals with things differently and heals differently and comes back differently. And, you know, I don't have to tell you. You've been there, you know.
But you know what
I
found?
Something.
All my suffering is a result of thinking about myself too much. And when I'm actually self-centered, I shut out the sunlight. When I'm helping others, I'm happy. And so when I get out of my shell, when I go out and I do something for someone else, everything goes better. It's like a circle of giving.
It's a great feeling, isn't it? I love helping people out. I really do.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. It's always been in me too. I don't know. It must be my mother thing that my mother passed down to me. I don't know.
You're beautiful, spirit. Yeah.
We didn't have a pot to piss in, but she'd give you the shirt off her back. You know what I mean? So,
right.
And my whole family's like that. So you know, it is great to be that way. I love being that way. It makes me happy.
Right,
like
it does.
When you do something good for somebody else, you know, hey, it's better to, you know, give than receive, as they say, you know?
Yeah, and it's like also staying present in the moment we're in. There's this great quote I love. If you have one foot in tomorrow and one foot in yesterday, you're pissing on today.
So
have to stay here now, you know, because that's where happiness is. We have to stop looking with envy at other people. Because you never know what your path is going to be. If you're enjoying where you are now, it leads to something better. But if you're regretting the past, it's like that's like living in your own in a form of hell to constantly live with regret.
Right. And,
people who look back too much get backaches. That's true.
That must be maybe that's my problem. I'm kidding. I have a back problem too.
I'm just saying a lot of problems are emotional to begin with.
I know. And you're a teacher too, right? Are you teaching these days?
Yeah, I was really excited that they asked me to teach acting in this film school, acting for screenwriters. A bunch of friends of mine are showrunners. They create the guy who ran Roseanne. You talk about a showrunner, that's the head writer, the one who created all the shows.
Right.
So all these wonderful writers, a friend of theirs, Jeffrey Davis, his father produced Bewitched and That Girl and all those great shows.
Great show, and
his son is a really wonderful guy, and he asked me to teach acting for screenwriters in the film school. So I tried that for a semester. I hope to do it next year, but I'm producing now, and directing this season. So I want to get these projects sold.
Yeah, you are a very busy girl.
Thank you. I don't know. Being busy is just a form of it's creative. That I love being creative.
No, busy is good. Yeah.
Inventing products, doing comedy, and just
Right.
Public speaking, stuff like that, and recovery.
Well, I'm so glad you can laugh after everything you've been through. That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
But don't you find life absurd? If you don't laugh, you can't get through it very well. It's just
my saying is if you don't. My saying is if you don't laugh, you'll cry. So
exactly.
Why cry? What? Let's laugh. I mean,
let's laugh.
Exactly.
You can always laugh at something.
Absolutely, absolutely. I looked in the mirror today and chuckled my ass off too. So anyway,
but you're funny. You're beautiful.
I'm kidding. I'm taking care of my parents
last year, and what my stepfather has a really funny form of dementia. Like he's hilarious, and he tried on mom's leggings. I have a funny video of it. They're skin tight on him. And he's going,
you caught him trying them on.
Yes, he comes in the room, and I said, Chuck, you're wearing mom's leggings. He goes, no, no. I go, why are they skin tight with the crotch down below your knees? And he's and he doesn't know who mom is. He thinks the only people he knows the name of is Vanna White and a couple of the Dancing with the Stars dancers.
Oh, isn't that funny? Oh,
he's
that's
really
funny.
But
oh,
it, with dementia
God.
People, you need to stay inside their story.
Right.
And don't
yeah.
argue with them. You know, like he'll say.
Right, of course.
He said the I was in the bedroom one morning. He goes, we got to get off the ship. The ship, we got to get off the ship. Who's going to take all the clothes out of the closet and pack for us? And I said, let's just take a carry-on bag. We can get all the, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The ship people to take the clothes out. And he goes, oh, okay.
Great
and then
idea,
he wanders
right.
off to another subject.
Right, right. My mom had a little dementia towards the end, too, and we had some funny experiences, too. But, you know, there's sad moments, but, you know, you do have the funny moments, and, you know, but it can be funny. You know, and like you said, you got to laugh about it, because if not, it brings it down, and it just takes you down, and you're done. Once you're brought
well,
down,
well, you know what,
done.
This weird thing I came up with is that I watched him walking through the house going through a panic attack, and he looks real hollow. There's this hollow, I call it hollow, I don't know what that means, but he acted like, oh, I don't know where I am. And I just went over to him, and I touched his heart, and I held him, I hugged him really tightly, and I said, I love you. God loves you. You're fine. And I just held him, and he calmed down. It was like the power of human touch and love is a huge healing balm that we don't think about, you know?
You could write a book about that and dementia
yeah,
and
I'm
all
thinking
that.
I have a little thing.
You've got material for a lifetime.
Yeah, I know. I gotta hurry.
Charlie Souza too. He's got so much crap he can write about too. He could until he dies. My God.
Oh, he sounds phenomenal. I want to hear.
Yeah,
his
the
music.
Guy.
He's
played with everybody.
He's a big
under
name.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's fantastic. Oh my God. But Lydia, where can people find out more about you and what you're doing? Where are you going to be anywhere where people see you?
Yes. Okay.
We have a lot of LA listeners, so.
Oh, cool. Come to lydiacornell.com. LydiaCornell. lydiacornell.com. I'm also on Facebook. I have 5 Facebook pages, but the main one is my personal page. If you follow me there, I update you on everything. I'm doing a big thing for Shriners Hospital in North Carolina in August. I'll be in the Grand Marshal in the parade for 80 Splashback Weekend.
Nice.
I co-founded a comedy club at the Warehouse in Marina Del Rey. And if you look at our website, it's called Serving Up Comedy. We do comedy for charity. We pick a charity every month. It's only every Thursday in the spring, starting up in February.
That's
and you see the dates on servingupcomedy.com. So my website has all the info. Facebook has the info. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and all those. But
thank you. Very nice. Well, I don't know about you, John, but all I can say is it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on, and I am so glad
I got to meet you.
Thrilled. Over the phone, but I'm so glad we got to finally speak. You have been a wonderful delight. I mean, I can't even tell you.
You are too. Thank you.
I can't get the smile off my face. You made me laugh so hard tonight.
Thank you. Oh, my God. You made my day. You are
sweet,
you know. Both of you. Thank you so much, JoJo. I love your name.
Thank you, Lydia.
Thank you, John.
Lydia, thank you so much. And listen, if you ever honestly, and I say this to everybody, and I mean it honestly and truly, if you ever want to come back on, please reach out. And if there's something you want to talk about, promote anything, we're here for
thank
you.
Thank you. I love you guys. Thank you so much.
Oh,
I'll do a station ID and everything
you
need. So call me again.
You got it. Thank you, Lydia. Take care
okay.
so much. Ladies and gentlemen, Lydia Cornell. Look her up. Love her. She's fabulous. I love her. Oh, my God.
Blessings.
Thank you, Lydia.
Love,
love
you.
You.
Blessings.
Too.
Bye-bye,
Thank
Lydia.
You. Take care, hon. Bye-bye. Oh, that was fun. I enjoyed that. Oh,
what
boy.
A great show tonight.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. We haven't even, I don't even want to say even better, because they just keep getting better and better. They're great. Sunday, we are having a special show on Sunday. Normally we air at 7 p.m. Eastern. We are going to be at Super Bowl Sunday, so we know most of the guys will be watching anyway. We are doing a 1 p.m. broadcast, and we have a fantastic guest. His name is Richard Skipper. I spoke to him, and I literally fell in love with him in 2 seconds. He is fantastic. He is a Carol Channing aficionado. And we've got a little tidbit about Carol Channing and the Super Bowl, believe it or not. They do have something in common that you may not know. And Richard Skipper, he's doing a new show coming out. It's called Richard Skipper Celebrates. And he is his singing is phenomenal. If you are into Broadway, you are just going to love Richard. Cannot wait to have him on. He'll be on at 1 p.m. Eastern. And then at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, we have the talented and fantastic Joey Kaye, the original drummer from Bill Haley and the Comets. I can't wait to speak to him as well. So we are going to have a fantastic Sunday. We hope you join us. I want to say thank you to our fabulous guests tonight, Charlie Souza and Lydia Cornell. Thank you to our sponsors, the Hyde Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Moments Videography in Kindersville, Pennsylvania, and KWV Wines. And John, I love you. You know that. And anything you want to add tonight?
Thank you, Jimmy. No, I think we had a great show. Everyone was great.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful. And Lydia, I definitely love her. We gotta stick by her. We gotta follow her, because I'm telling you, she said she'd do a station ID. That'd be cool.
That would be cool. She got a beautiful voice.
Oh, she's hysterical. What a pisser. And you know what? She's come from the bottom and brought herself back all by herself. That's just fantastic. You know? I mean, that's one story, which is so tragic. Oh, my God. So, anyway, thank you all so much. Applause Radio Show. You're not going to get this anywhere else, because we have the best guests. Call in. Talk to them. Show them some love. I know you guys listen after the fact. You should really listen when we're on the air, so that you guys can talk to these guests, because they're phenomenal, and they'd love to hear from you, too. So thank you all so very much. Have a good night. John, we'll talk on Sunday, yeah?
See you Sunday.
All right, night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Take care. Good night. Bye-bye.